So thank you, Grant. Grant is handing out some Bibles. We also have two sets of notes on your chair. For those who don't have, they should be around somewhere. You have two sets. You have pretty much the sermon outline, but you also have the verses. So hold the Bible in your hands. It's very important, but we are sort of cheating slightly this morning because there are a few verses we want to look at, and I thought it would be easier just to have them on the paper, and then you can go and reflect upon them at home. So, what message do you preach on a day like today? Charles Spurgeon said that any preacher who does not preach Christ in a sermon should stop preaching and go home. So today it's very important for us to focus on Christ. And that is why I've entitled my message this morning, The Great Shepherd. It is a difficult morning. It is a difficult day. It's a difficult time. But it's important for us to reflect upon the Great Shepherd. This morning I am reminded in the book of Acts where Paul the Apostle spent time with the Ephesian elders, and as he was approaching the boat to leave them, they cried and it was a difficult goodbye. But it was important for him to move on to where God was taking him. But no matter where we might be at, we only have one shepherd, and that is the Lord Jesus Christ. So the reading I take this morning, and that's why this message is not based on one passage, there are several. But the thought and the sort of heading reading is Hebrews chapter 13 and reading verse 20. And it's a benediction that the writer of Hebrews is inspired to write and says, "Now may the God of peace, who through the blood of the eternal covenant brought back from the dead our Lord Jesus, that great shepherd of the sheep." Now the picture of a shepherd and sheep is one that is used very often in Scripture. It's a very familiar picture. It's not just a picture that we read about or know about, but it's something that's depicted very often in children's Bibles and even cards or pictures of Jesus as the shepherd and the sheep. And Jesus Christ is the great shepherd. And throughout Scripture, it's very clear that He is the one that is leading. Every single elder, because the word elder is the same word as pastor, as shepherd, every single elder in every single church around the world is but appointed by the great shepherd to lead. But Jesus Christ is the great shepherd. He leads and He also protects, because the shepherd is there to feed the flock but also protect the flock. And Jesus Christ leads us, He protects us, because we are His sheep. He's also the head of the church and the one we look to. The head of the body, the head of the church. He is the source. He is life. He is the living water and the bread of life. Jesus Christ is the source of all things. It begins and ends with Him. Now this passage is very important. As you read on, it actually doesn't deal with Jesus per se in the context of Hebrews 13, 20 to 21. It speaks of God and encompassing Father, Son, Holy Spirit, of course. But this word is very important. That great shepherd. And the word great is very important. It's not just a statement we use or a word that is used sort of in how we use it as English. In English, someone's great or someone's wonderful. That's not the context of great. The word great in the Greek relates to rank or authority. That Jesus Christ is the shepherd that holds the highest rank or highest authority. He is the shepherd. And as we look to Him, and especially in the next several months that lie ahead as we prepare for what the Lord has in store for NCC, and as He leads us forward, We know that he's starting a work. He's putting things in place. We're very blessed to have Angela in the position she is in, and God is putting all things together for NCC to fulfill the purpose that God has for her. And it's very, very important. So the question we have to ask this morning is, how does Christ shepherd us? Because often we want to be pastored. That's a sort of term. It's sort of a statement. We want to be pastored. And I've always found that actually to be a pastor is not very difficult in the work that has to be done. It's not the work that's difficult. It's everything that comes with it that makes it a challenge. It's the spiritual weight of preaching a message or carrying the burdens of others, etc., etc. Those are difficult, but to actually pastor in a human perspective is just to be there for people. We have two ears and one mouth. Just to listen, to care, to attend. And what does Jesus Christ do? Because he doesn't just listen to us. He's not just someone we can bring our burdens to. That's one part. But there's so much more to pastoring and so much more to what Jesus Christ does for us that is so important. And that is where Psalm 23, as John mentioned it a few weeks ago, it's the most loved psalm, of course. But Psalm 23 speaks of the Lord being our shepherd, as we know. But there's a very specific thought within Psalm 23. And as we read the first three verses, that's the focus. As we consider, how does Christ shepherd us? The Lord is my shepherd, I lack nothing. I was actually on a bus toward Reading, which I always enjoy doing. It gives me an hour to sort of not be able to go anywhere or do anything. And my phone's battery is not fantastic, so it's fantastic up to 50%, then it just goes downhill very quickly, which is great. So I can't fiddle on my phone. So I read. I don't like to read devices, also it makes me a bit sort of car sick, but when I've got a book, it's fine. So one day I took this wonderful book with me. It's called Our Sufficiency in Christ. And someone sat next to me, and I made sure that I read toward them. But the whole principle of the book is so important. Our sufficiency is found in Christ, and that's what David is writing about. The Lord is my shepherd, I lack nothing. We are sufficient in Christ. We lack nothing. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside the quiet waters. He refreshes my soul. He guides me along the right paths for His name's sake. So what we find is the way that Jesus Christ pastors us is He leads us and guides us where spiritual refreshment can be found. He's the bread of life, the living water. It's a daily process. We need to eat daily. We need to eat of Christ daily because that is where refreshment is found. Many people live their Christian lives sort of in gaps. So it's a lot. It's almost like they sort of go to Toby's Carvery or somewhere where it's sort of like, or Pizza Hut, eat as much pizza as you want. So they go and they have this huge and copious amounts of food on one night. And then they don't eat for a week. It's not great for your health, is it? It's far better to eat consistently in a good manner. And that is why, how does Christ lead us? In Psalm 23, He takes us to where good food is, where there's quiet waters. You don't want to be near a raging ocean. You want to be where quiet waters are so you can drink, and green pastures. So how He leads us is to give us spiritual refreshment. And how is it found? How do we are we spiritually revived or refreshed? It's by spending time with Christ daily. It's not about just reading a psalm or just praying a prayer. It's about having a clear focus of saying, I need to spend time with You, Lord. It's not the amount, but it is the focus. It is the focus of saying, I need to spend time with you. And daily when we pray, because prayer is also, it's a two-way street, it's not just a one-way street. It's to hear from God. And reflecting upon His Word that is the bread, the food. So daily we need to spend time with the Shepherd. And that's how He leads us, because He gives us everything we need. He says, come to Me. So He leads us to where spiritual refreshment can be found. Also, not just where spiritual refreshment is found, but also He has compassion for His sheep. Everyone wants someone to have compassion. Now, what I sometimes don't like about us as human beings, I say us because all of us do it. As much as you try, some people are a lot better with it because you realize you mustn't do it, but it comes out somewhere. So what happens? Someone comes to you and says, oh, I've had terrible, terrible back pain. It's been really difficult. And then you listen to them and you go, oh, that's tough. You know what happened to me? I've had this. I've had a trapped nerve or a slipped disc. So this person comes to you with their struggle, and we always have to almost like say, yes, that's all right, but I've had it worse. So what we love is to go and speak to someone that actually have compassion for your situation. They're not always quick off the gun to tell you about their problems. So Jesus Christ, as the great shepherd, has compassion. He has compassion. He's not interested in telling you about His struggles. He's interested in your struggle because He has compassion. And Isaiah 40 verse 11 says, He tends His flock like a shepherd. He gathers the lambs in His arms and carries them close to His heart. He gently leads those that have young. And the main thought there is He carries them close to His heart. He has compassion for us to know and feel the warmth of Christ, but also to hear His heartbeat. That's why it's close, because you hear His heartbeat. God's heart beats for us. And especially for His sheep, not for humanity. It's very important. Because humanity, yes, but for these sheep. Sometimes with humanity, they will have to go through difficult times for them to come to Christ. But for us, He will do whatever is necessary to protect us and take care of us. And when you're close to Him, you hear His heartbeat. You know that Christ hears and understands. He knows your pain, and He has compassion. The great Creator of heaven and earth has drawn us close. But I ask you, as I ask myself, do we know His voice? Do we hear His heartbeat? Because as Christians, if we are not going to uphold the things He holds dear, I have to question and we have to question if we know His heartbeat. Because I know He's compassionate, yes. But I need to know His heartbeat. I need to know what His heart beats for. And we cannot be satisfied as Christians with the hurts and the pains of this world. The world needs the gospel. The world needs the gospel. So do we know His voice? And do we know His heart? Because He has compassion for His sheep. He also cares for His sheep by feeding them. Ezekiel 34:23, I will place over them one shepherd, My servant David. Of course, it's speaking about Christ, because Ezekiel is written after David's died. So My servant David, because Jesus Christ was born from the lineage of David, therefore He is the son of David, and He will tend them. That word tend is feed. He will feed. He will tend them and be their shepherd. He cares for His sheep by feeding them. He feeds us. His word is what we feed on. So one of the roles of an elder in the church is to spiritually feed the flock. Jesus Christ feeds us. But we need to know where the good food is found. The struggle is sometimes, as what happens, many Christians feed off the world more than they feed from Christ. When our diet consists of worldly things, when our diet consists of that which is not of God, we are going to struggle. We need to go to the source where good food is found. The shepherd, our Lord Jesus Christ. He feeds us. His word is what we need to feed on. We must feed on every word from God's mouth. We know that beautiful, beautiful verse in Matthew chapter 4, when the Lord is tempted at that difficult time, and Satan says, "If you are the Son of God, turn these stones into bread." And Jesus said, "Man shall not live by bread alone, but every word that proceedeth from the mouth of God." And sometimes we don't want to be fed. The picture of Israel in the Old Testament is one that is familiar. I don't know about you, but I think manna would have tasted fantastic, don't you think? But we see that picture where manna comes, it's bread from heaven, but they're not satisfied. They're not satisfied with bread from heaven, they want more. But more not of what God gives, what their heart desires. And part of the Christian life is to want more. Not of what desires we have or what feeds our flesh, but more from what God gives. And He gives what is good. So He cares for His sheep by feeding them. So where do we go? We want to be fed. No one can say, "Well, I'm not really fed." You must go to Christ to be fed. It's very important. Then also, He sacrifices for His sheep, which is found in John chapter 10, verse 11. Let me just have a look. So John chapter 10, verse 11 is not on your notes. It's one in the, we're going to turn to the scriptures for that one. So John chapter 11, or 10, verse 11. So if you have your Bibles there, you can turn with me. I thought, let's change it up. It's a very famous passage. It's pretty much the shepherd passage, as Psalm 23 is as well. So John chapter 11, or 10 verse 11. So John chapter 10 verse 11. And this is the gospel. "I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep." So Jesus Christ, as the great shepherd, is also the good shepherd that lays down his life for the sheep. He sacrifices for the sheep. And that is a picture for us of Jesus Christ. If He, and it's so many passages, there's so many, you can't even list them all. But if Jesus Christ is willing to lay down His life for the sheep, how much more will He not give us everything that we need? It's the most romantic story, actually, ever written. Any damsel in distress would love the knight to be willing to come and save her. And if he dies, how noble that is. The picture of giving your life for your loved one. Romeo and Juliet, willing to die. It's such a romantic story. But Jesus Christ is willing to give His all for His sheep. If He's willing to give His all, will He leave us with nothing? Will He leave us with no hope? He sacrifices for His sheep. Also, 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 25. He keeps the souls of the sheep. In our notes it says, "For you were like sheep going astray, but now you have returned to the shepherd, the overseer of your souls." Jesus Christ, as the great shepherd, keeps our souls. And it's important. I'm a firm believer in this. I don't think that we can live the Christian life and be insecure. It's not going to work. In no sphere of life does insecurity ever produce something positive. Insecurity makes us fearful and we're not able to function. So if we're not going to be secure in our relationship with Christ, that as the great shepherd, he holds my soul in his hands securely, if I'm going to doubt the security that comes in Christ, I will not be able to live the Christian life to its full. I will always be insecure. The hope we have is that he is the overseer. He is the protector. He is the carer of my soul. So we can be secure in his love and in his sustaining power, because nothing can pluck us from his hands. We are in him. As the great shepherd, he keeps the souls of the sheep. And then finally, 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 4. And when the chief shepherd appears, see, there's so many words. It's the overseer, it's the great shepherd, it's the chief shepherd. The Bible tries to tell us who the shepherd is. And when the chief shepherd appears, you will receive the crown of glory that will never fade away. So the final part to our great shepherd is that he will reward his sheep. And those words are always just so profound. Well done, my good and faithful servant. Jesus Christ will reward the sheep. He knows our thoughts, he knows our deeds, he knows our hearts, and therefore the reward will be just. I also believe that judgment will be just, as the rewards will be just. The great shepherd will reward his sheep. And that's why we have to long for his return, because we know that all things will be laid open. All things will be manifest. There will be nothing hidden from his sight. He will reward his sheep. So as I conclude, it is, as I said, a challenging time for us as a fellowship here. It's a challenging time for NCC going forward. But we can be confident in what? In the Savior. The great shepherd, the one that will never leave nor forsake us. As Coral said and prayed about earlier on, it's such a beautiful passage in Hebrews chapter 13, verse 8. Now, Hebrews chapter 13, verse 7 speaks of the leaders or the elders who have moved on. They've died, but they've moved on. And then it says, they have moved on, but Jesus remains the same yesterday, today, and forever. And that is why the great shepherd is here for us as a fellowship. And Jesus Christ is that great shepherd. He will lead. He will guide. And the question is, do we follow? It's not just about following as a fellowship. It's individually following Christ every single day in the road that he leads. Let us pray. Our Heavenly Father, as we approach your throne of grace, we want to thank you, Heavenly Father, for your love, for your grace, for your mercy, for your power, for your magnificence. We also want to thank you for giving to us that great shepherd of our souls, our Lord Jesus Christ. It is in him and through him that we can approach you, Father, and know that we are in communion with you because of that great sacrifice of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Lord, we want to thank you for the hope we have in you. Lord, I want to thank you for the past 2 years and the wonderful blessing it has been to be the pastor at this wonderful fellowship. Thank you, Lord, for your plan and purposes. And Lord, we pray for the future of our church here. We pray for the future that you have prepared. We pray for the leadership of the church. We pray for the elders. We thank you for their leadership, their consistency, their focus, their guidance, and their spiritual oversight, Lord. We thank you, Lord, so much for our fellowship here, each and every person. And may we draw too close together. May we focus together on following you as the great shepherd. Thank you, Lord, for the fact that we share in a wonderful love and fellowship as being part of your family. Thank you for the future, Lord, that you have in your manifold wisdom and magnificence designed the fact that we can remain closely in fellowship. We thank you for that. Thank you, Lord, for the love and support that we've received as a family, Lord. Thank you that the fellowship here have been part of our son, Harry, growing in such a beautiful way. We just want to thank you for that. And we just pray for the future, Lord. We pray for your guidance. And thank you, Lord, for your amazing love as we all follow you as the great shepherd. We thank you, Lord. In your wonderful name we pray, the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. Amen.